Because sex is not something that most people talk about openly and freely, there are a lot of misconceptions surrounding it. Obviously, misconceptions can lead to problems, whether cancer's present or not. So in this track, we're going to talk about what sex is, whether you need an erection to orgasm, how orgasms are achieved, and the health benefits of sex toys. Raylene Stokes is a sexologist with Impotence Australia. Raylene, what are some of the more common misunderstandings around sex?
People think sexuality is sexual intercourse. It's not. What people don't realise and what people need to begin to feel comfortable with is, again, the intimacy of the body. Sensuality is the key factor to being sexual. Sensuality is touching the body parts in different ways, whether it's in the shower, the bath, water, kissing on the body, everywhere actually away from the genital area itself, from head to toe. There are so many spots of the body that can be turned on and being very sensual to make you feel sexual. What people need to begin to be mindful of is taking it away from the genital area. You know, if there's cancer in the vagina or bowel cancer, etc., for a long period of time, you're going to be severely burnt. It's going to be painful. So you don't go there. However, everywhere else on your body can be touched, and that's sexuality. And yes, there is oral sex. We won't beat around the bush there. Most people of all ages are into oral sex. It still works when you're 70 and in your 80s. It's nothing to be embarrassed about. So there are many areas still away from penetration that people can experience pleasure and be sexual. From that as well, can that lead to orgasm? Absolutely. In fact, most areas away from penetration, in particular with women, lead to orgasm. Men can enjoy that pleasure as well.
Is it a common misconception that people feel penetration and orgasm are inextricably linked?
Oh, absolutely. It's been a myth from day one of sex. You know, Adam and Eve was basically, from what we know, intercourse. A lot of cultures, it's taboo to touch the rest of the body and masturbate, etc. And it's an absolute myth because the rest of the body is where we get aroused and stimulated. Women, and especially coming back from illness, need a lot more time spent on their bodies, and men too.
When it comes to sexual experimentation, is there a common belief that those who use sex toys, for example, are a bit more adventurous and out there with their sexuality?
Yes, that is a common belief, and an understandable one. However, more and more over the time, what I'm seeing and what I do know is a lot of people, all ages, and I'm talking of ages 50, 60s, 70s, and even 80s, once they've become confident and comfortable in using the sexual toys, realize how pleasurable they can become. Hugely used for people with illness in order to get back to being sexual. Sex toys for both male and female. Yes, I'm talking about vibrators, etc. They create stimulation that the human being's touch can't give. If you're a male, that stimulation is very important for the penis to get the blood flow through. If you're a female, it's very good for the vagina to have that stimulation to get the blood flowing through. If one partner can't be sexually active, doesn't mean the other has to stop. It's about also learning what the partner needs and wants. If you're not sexually active, your partner still may be. And how do I maintain that? You need to be willing to explore. Yes, it's going to be very uncomfortable, extremely embarrassing for those that aren't used to that, horrifying for some. If you're single, sex toys are great. No one knows you're using it. If you're embarrassed, it doesn't matter. The key factor is setting your mind to having a healthy organ before being sexual. When you're sexual or it's time to be sexual, it is going to be different. Whether you're single or not, sex toys will probably be a good part of your sexual life from there on. It's also okay to feel scared and nervous. People need to realise that in order to be sexual again, it might just start with intimacy and redating. not taking the actual penetration away, so there's no stress of performance, and redating how it used to be, going out on dates and falling in love with each other again, being intimate with the body, each other's bodies, and then slowly, step by step, getting back into the sexual activities.
I would imagine that most couples would believe that a man has to have an erection in order to have sex. Is that true?
Well, for penetrative sex, yes, that's true. What we have to be mindful of with the men, if they've gone through prostate cancer, there are many treatments that affect erections, and what we do know is they won't be able to ejaculate. The erections may not come back as strong if they come back, but they can orgasm. So I think being mindful of that and having an understanding that things have changed physically, you can set your goals and your mind around what other areas can we be sexual and have sex. Again, we do have to focus on oral sex. It plays a huge role. If the man can't penetrate, we bring in the toys, the sex toys. There are many other objects or toys that become very useful, because we also have to be mindful. If the man can't penetrate, it doesn't mean that the partner, if she still wants sex, misses out. So how can we compromise? And there's some of the options there. So it's not all lost. It's just very, very different. And it does take time. It takes confidence, patience, and an acceptance of being scared and fearful. The more we talk about it, the further we go to progress.
So if the physical arousal is not there in the man, perhaps the man needs to communicate with his partner so that they know that he is actually aroused and up for it.
Absolutely. I think both partners need to be mindful for whatever treatments they've gone through or going through, what are the sexual ramifications to their physical being at a later stage. And that's a question of asking the specialist. And it's a prominent question. It's no point in going through all these treatments and not being told, oh, you know, 6 months later that you can't be sexual. In actual fact, you can. But the psychological effect of not being told there and then of what the treatments will likely do to the body physically creates another mindset of stress, and that's what we'd like to avoid. If the physical body is not how it used to be, it doesn't mean that the person's not going to be aroused.
Now, just lastly, orgasm is always looked upon as the sort of be-all and end-all in many relationships. Should it be the main goal when you're having sex?
No. For most of our time, yes, we want to achieve it. One partner wants to have the other partner reach orgasm. But realistically, and if, when we're talking about people who have been cured, the last thing we want is to create performance anxiety for the male or female. I have to have an orgasm, I have to perform, or we're not being sexual. In a lot of cases, what we're doing is detracting from relaxation and pleasure if we're thinking I've got to orgasm. So the less we think and worry about that, the more opportunity we might have to actually achieve that.